Here's a guy who was listening very closely about the weather forecast for tonight. Mayor Mike Henry is joining you. He wanted to know the weather. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you doing today?
Good. And the reason why, you know, Mike's listening to that weather forecast, he's going to be busy about 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah, we're going to light our holiday tree again this year. And we always have lots of kids, and Boys and Girls Club shows up. And it's a nice little party. We have a good time. This is a live tree that's planted permanently in the ground. In the ground, I guess, is where you have to plant them permanently. But anyway, planted permanently, and it's at the pavilion, which is on the Old Town Square in Carbondale, just a little half a block north of City Hall. So
I did notice
everybody come out.
I did notice, Mike, in some film footage that I saw on social media in the last couple of days, that the last time you used this, you employed help from the crowd to be able to flip the switch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like to get the kids all riled up and get them excited. They're so much fun. You know, I just love kids. And I don't know if Santa's going to be there or not tonight. I haven't found out. I'm going to try to find out today.
Well, he's busy this time of the year, but we know he will be in the Carbondale Lights Fantastic Parade on Saturday.
Yeah, he will be, as will I, and the Chancellor, and maybe even our new system president.
Sean Henry is going to be joining us tomorrow. I think you know him.
A little bit. He's my firstborn.
And he is the chairperson for the Lights Fantastic Parade.
Yeah, yeah. He loves doing stuff like that. He's always involved in the community.
All right, so he'll be on the air with us 7:20. We'll get details for you for the Lights Fantastic Parade, which is coming up on Saturday. You just kind of brushed against my subject that I wanted to bring up. Have you had a chance to meet the new proposed, I guess, president? Has to be confirmed by the Board of Trustees, which are meeting tomorrow. Dr. David Mahoney, have you met him?
I have not yet, but I will meet him at lunch tomorrow. So looking forward to it. I've read his biography, and they kept it a good secret. I mean, I didn't know until everybody else did, and I'm on the Chancellor Search Committee, too. So I'm very glad we have our president of the system selected, because that individual definitely needs to be working on the chancellor selection with us.
You know, I find it interesting in this particular case that, you know, because I think our interim president done a great job.
Oh, I do too.
I mean, and I enjoy spending time with him and everything. And quite frankly, I kind of wish he'd stay, but right, he's done his fair share. But we needed to make this move. You and I have talked about this on more than one occasion. Uncertainty is not a good thing for the community. It's not a good thing for the university, and the synergy between those two suffers as a result. And knowing who's in charge, keeping a plan, and knowing there's a hand at the helm is an important thing psychologically, I think. But also, you know, it keeps us in our lane and where we ought to be moving forward and with a plan.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to get going in the same direction, and we have our City Chamber University meeting once a month, and we sit around a table, alternate between the Chamber of Commerce building, the mayor's office, and the chancellor's office, and just discuss what's going on, just a casual discussion, and keep each other caught up with everything. And, of course, those three units also go to Washington, D.C., along with Southern Illinois Healthcare. And we've been out there twice in the past 2 years. And that is what went a long way to get us to our Regional Transportation Center grant that we got,
which we will be talking about more coming up. But first, let's talk about this. A $2.4 million solar project for Carbondale's given the nod.
Absolutely. And that really puts us in the forefront of cities in Southern Illinois as showing that we're committed to alternative energy, to clean energy, and we're going to save the city $40,000 a year at least over 25 years, and we don't have a dime out of pocket. The investors are footing the bill.
And I found that interesting because I do not for the life of me understand this. You got approval on a solar project with zero capital outlay from Carbondale to the tune of $2.4 million for the project. Just quickly, I want to take a sidebar here. Where would these solar panels go?
Well, one of them's going at one of our wastewater treatment plants. Another array is going on the roof of City Hall. And another array is going on the ground at our public safety center, the police fire building, so or police building.
Okay. All right, so you get approval, right? No capital of $2.4 million, but over the life of this power project, it's called a PPA agreement. Over the life of the PPA agreement, a $1.5 million in savings, where you spend $2.4 million, or somebody does, to save $1.5
million. Yeah, and again, it's the there's a lot of tax incentives, both federal and state, and that's what the investors, that's where they're getting their money. It's a better return on their investment than they can get in the stock market and the banks, apparently. So there's folks that go around and do this all over the country. And we will own the solar panels through this 25 years. A local company will service the panels and watch over them. There's really not a whole lot to be done there. And then at the end of 25 years, we own them.
And the company we're talking about is Straight Up Solar, which is the developer, and then I guess a financier named Hawk Italo LLC.
Right, right.
And they're the people that put this together, build it, and the money for it, and use this as an investment, like I said, which we still were talking $900,000 difference between the cost of the project and what is saved.
Yeah, yeah. So there's probably some money somewhere else. But I don't know where that is, and honestly, I'm not too concerned about it. It's going to give us some savings, and there will be days when we pump energy back out to Ameren, and we sell it back to them. So there will be it's called reverse metering. But anyway, there'll be credits on our bill, and that's where our money will come from, right. Our savings will come from that.
When the supply the supply from the solar panels outsupplies the current need, it's fed back into the power grid, and then your meter goes backwards.
We're not disconnected from the power grid either. People have thought that this is exclusively what these buildings are going to be run on, and that's not the case.
Right, not until there's sufficient knowledge when it comes to storage capacity. That's just not going to happen for the most people. Some people do that, but not on the kind of scales that we're talking about. You also talked about this because there was a $2.4 million project, right, for installation there. But you've also received $14 million in this transportation hub. And I just got to talk to the city manager, and of course, I love talking to your economic development, Steve Mitchell, as well, about this transportation hub. And I talked to Brad Cole about it, too. And he's saying, look, this is a project that, you know, a lot of people have worked on for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's something I talked about when I first ran for office 5 years ago, and that we needed to figure out a way to get this done. And staff really jumped in on it. Council has supported it all the way through, and we finally got there. So we got $14 million of a $20 million ask. We had been hoping to get $16 million from the federal government. So we're hoping the state will come through with some money on it. But either way, we're going to build the project. We may have to make some changes to the project if we don't get the full $20 million, but it'll still be a great project, and it'll do what it needs to do for the area. All of our public transit systems and Ubers and taxicabs and, of course, the train will all come through this station, and people can buy their tickets and change modes of transportation. It'll move folks all over southern Illinois.
And bicycles.
And bicycles. Yeah.
$14 million. I looked at the artist rendering is, you know, pretty cool. And because I love that kind of stuff. But, you know, $14 million on this project, and you think, gosh, that's a lot of money. But, you know, what I've always thought is, gosh, there is a lot of people that go through that station. I've never really comprehended the sheer numbers that I hear that come through that location.
Yeah, and, you know, I've always heard that, you know, roughly a third of our students are from Chicago, and a lot of those students use that train. And I use the train. You know, I travel to Chicago for city business. I'm on the IML Board of Directors, and a lot of their meetings alternate between Springfield and Chicago. And of course, our legislators meet up in offices in Chicago. So it's just a great, great way to move folks around. And, you know, my hope is to get a daycare center in there. We know that historically people trying to enter the job market, their two biggest issues are transportation and daycare. And it would be so great if someone from Carterville or Marion could come to Carbondale, drop the kids off at daycare, get a bus, go to Chester to work at Gilster Mary Lee, for instance, who always has 50 to 70 job openings, and come back, pick the kids up, and on their way home, all on public transportation. So it's going to be a great thing. It'll benefit all the region.
All right, New Year's. You know, this is probably one of the last chances you and I will get to speak before the end of the year, and Christmas, of course. I can't help but think that New Year, Carbondale, marijuana. Are you satisfied with Carbondale's current position, zoning regulations, dispensaries? Thing, I mean, are there some essential knowledge that's missing because JCAR has still not rendered their rules from the legislation itself? I mean, how do you feel about this January 1st and the fact that we're talking about a new product online coming here and a new source of taxes 27 days from today?
You know, we're all set to go. The last, and they've done a lot of these rules, they got right on it as soon as the legislation was passed. And these rules basically work out the details of the legislation. And so as far as somebody opening a dispensary, being able to sell recreational marijuana, that's all fine. As far as people getting a license for grow facilities, they can do that. Same people can grow and have a dispensary. And we have our zoning worked out for, we've already passed that for where these things will be allowed. And it's basically in our primary business districts. The law itself states certain distances from daycare and schools and so on and so forth. So that's already part of state law. Really the last thing to deal with is, and we're really waiting on the state to finalize this, is the smoking lounges. And you cannot walk down the street and be smoking marijuana. Also, it looks like the state is not going to allow smoking lounges to be in places that have liquor licenses. So that puts us back on, it looks like the state is coming down to the dispensaries will be the places where people can smoke it, or they can take it home, of course. Still some little angst about whether you can smoke it in your backyard because it says it cannot be consumed publicly.
Right.
So, we don't know there. I don't think we're going to be running around trying to enforce people smoke in their backyard. But anyway, we're set to go on everything, and we've been right square on top of this from the very beginning, and because we have investors, we have two very well set investors, very serious, that are looking into this and may both end up with a dispensary. They will both be in the licensing that happens in May. Looks like one of our medical dispensary folks here in the area that, from over in Marion at the airport, will be getting a recreational license in Carbondale, too. So if they follow through on what they have said they want to do. So
yeah. I met the manager not too long ago, a couple of weeks back, pretty impressed with her knowledge and preparation.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of really, really intelligent, knowledgeable people, forward-thinking in on this. And one of these investor groups is a group of local physicians, and they're looking at it to really work with folks and help them if somebody has an opioid addiction. Marijuana, we know, is very good at helping folks get off of these other drugs that are highly addictive and highly destructive. And they're going to work on that part of it. Mm-hmm. And we had that group was at SIU 2 weeks ago, and we talked with SIU about not just marijuana, but also the uses for hemp, and they're doing a lot of research, and there's an immense, this is going to be an entirely new business, and it's not just going to be the marijuana that we would smoke or consume, it's the hemp that people are growing, and I saw photographs of hemp that is 24 feet tall, never seen it, looks like bamboo.
Right.
And there's a company in Paducah that's processing this now for fiber down there and for the oils. And there'll be a lot of new businesses pop up in the region over this.
And my friends in agriculture will have a secondary cash crop than the ones they have on their first tier. So here we are, Christmas season. You know, we were I was on the air earlier this morning with Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints, and we were talking about some of these taxes that just keep coming down the pipe. Oh, by the way, just while I'm talking about that taxes issue, you saw the parking tax, the parking spot tax, 6% for hourly wages, 9% for monthly, and I don't know that we have much of that in Carbondale, but, I mean, you've already been having this discussion about whether you're going to, you know, allow people to park for free downtown, and, of course, that decision made. Do you count on revenues from parking in the city of Carbondale for any locations?
Oh, well, we do, substantially. I mean, that's what maintains the parking lots. It's a dedicated fund, so the parking fees, parking tickets, that sort of thing, go into a dedicated fund, and that's what we maintain the parking lots with.
So you'll have to pay a 6% tax on that, Mike?
It seems like it. Now, I haven't read that closely, but it seems like that's what they're going to want us to do.
At 6% with the lots that I'm familiar with, where I've slipped a quarter in, you know, I keep thinking 6%. Actually, 6% is a pretty healthy damn tax when it comes down what we're talking about here.
Yeah, it really is. And so we're still looking into that. Our free parking, the council will deal with that. It technically expires at the end of the year or mid-January. And we're getting feedback from our businesses to see if it's a yay or nay from them. And because what happens is people will park long term, and they'll park in the closest to the street or on the street, and take up a lot of business parking. And a big part of the reason for regulated parking is to keep that traffic turning over, and so that somebody doesn't, you know, park and walk out to SIU, not to diss the SIU students, but, you know, park and leave their car there all day.
Right.
And our businesses aren't getting any customer traffic from it, or it's more difficult to get customers. So we're doing this as an experiment, basically, for the businesses, and we want them to tell us, you know, is it a yay or nay? How do you feel about it?
Well,
you know, what was the impact on your business?
Wouldn't the city say, look, we need to put that back in place because now we're losing 6% of our other revenues, and we've got to make it up again, so we need to go back to using the parking meters to keep us at our current funding level?
Yeah, and I really think that's going to be what comes. That will certainly come before council. I think we're going to have that recommendation from staff, probably, mainly because of the monetary side of it. We're going to have to come up with the money somewhere else, and we have just extremely tight budget this year, and it's not going to get any better in the next fiscal year, which is in May of this coming year. So,
especially the state sticking their hand in your pocket, taking money out that they've never done before. I mean, and the fact is, I fully expect it to continue.
Yeah, I do too, and I'm just really not fond of that that parking tax. I think they need to leave us alone here.
Well, I think you've got
a locally generated revenue, and it's stuff that we have to maintain ourselves, and we don't rarly get any help from the state with any parking lot maintenance, that's for sure.
Right.
We do with roads and highways, but that's other taxes. That's gas taxes and everything else. So
right, and you've got car dealers in your community. They're not happy about the used car tax. I mean, when you trade your car in, it's taxed. They're, you know, that's going to turn people off. And I know you've got a lot of car dealers in Carbondale. They can't be happy about that prospect.
Yeah. And this, you know, I started out with, I knew we were going to have some additional state taxes, but I think they're a little overboard with it. And I think they need to really concentrate on reining in spending. They've done a lot to try to get our pension systems caught up and this, that, and the other, but they just have to quit taxing everything we do.
One of the items they're increasing, and this starts January 1st, is the increase in sales tax for remote retailers with an estimated first-year revenue of $130 million. You know, in the shopping season, kind of interesting, when this increase in sales tax for remote retailers, does any of that money, do you know, would any of that money come to Carbondale?
It will.
Okay.
There's a portion of state sales tax that comes to Carbondale. And and honestly, I believe that our local sales tax will apply to that also.
Yes.
So we should retrieve our local sales tax. And, you know, I think this has been needed for a while, just in, and I realize if I order online that I'm going to have to pay more money than I used to. But we need to protect our brick-and-mortar businesses, and we need to think about it and do business here. I shop online, but then I run out to Walmart or to Best Buy or wherever and buy the product locally. And so we need to, people need to think about that when they're shopping. There is, you know, it's an online, my own selfish little thing is it's greatly affected my printing business. Because it's so darn easy to order your Christmas cards, your anniversary cards, whatever business right. cards online.
Well, I think that firsthand experience gives you insight into every business in your town and the way the internet and our new way of buying things affects people. I think that I don't know, it hurts personally in the business, but I also it leaves you a skin in the game, Mayor.
Yeah, it does. And you know, folks that aren't in business don't realize what our small businesses do for the community. You know, we different, and Henry Printing sponsors a few things, and not all these I've mentioned, but they, you know, it's like junior sports and just all, they support our charities, support our fundraisers, the annual fundraisers for everything, that like Boys and Girls Club and For Kids' Sake, and all kinds of things are supported by local businesses, and the more of those businesses that shut their doors, the less support there's going to be there. And we've had a lot of businesses close.
We have. So what's the story on Arnold's Market? Have you heard?
You know, I haven't heard. I haven't heard anything about that, actually.
Yeah, well, I was told that December 18th they're closing. And then I was told, yeah, then they'll reopen with a new name.
Well, that that's the last I heard, but I haven't heard any details about who has it or who's going to do what there. So.
Well. I was telling stories that, you know, Robert was in the newsroom here and in the studios, and I was telling him a story. I said, you know, back when I was working in Murfreesboro at the station there, and I lived down by McCandon, their fire department, right there with the little Y, you know, where you kind of go off to one side and go to Cedar Lake. You used to live at that house right next door, so Arnold's Market was my place on the way home.
Oh, yeah.
And I was describing to him, I said, you know, Arnold's Market, one of the best meat markets you could get. And I used to go in there and they buy ground up bologna and cheese. And he just looked at me repulsed. Why would you do that? It's really good. That's why. It's Arnold's Market, man. Still love that place. It's a little out of my shopping zone now, but I relied on it. I know a lot of people still do. Carbondale Mayor Mike Henry. Hey, Mike, it's always a privilege. Happy Christmas. Quickly, before I let you go, if you want to join the tree lighting ceremony tonight at 5, what do you do?
Just come on downtown. We're just half a block north of City Hall in the Old Town Square, and you'll see us there.